And away we go. It is Friday morning here, Friday, February the 19th, 2021, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. This show can be heard live every Friday right here on WWGH Radio, 11:15 a.m. till 12 p.m. and repeats on Sunday morning from 8:15 until 9 a.m. and then Wednesday afternoon from 3:10 until 4 p.m. And you can get, I believe, every episode that's ever aired in this series on the website wwgh1071.com. Just go under shows and search the Pastor Spot. Now to the host of our program, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I am great. Hey, I want to reiterate what you just said, that on go to WWGH Radio, and if you go to archives, there's a lot of great shows on there. And actually, as you scroll down our archives, our show's the first one, and you have 3 years' worth of shows to look up. Isn't that great?
You can go back anywhere.
We've had some interesting ones over the years.
I certainly have.
Absolutely. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. I'm here with Scott Spears and Tim Steele. And we're going to have a little bit of a discussion this morning. I do want to encourage you, if you want to call in, have anything to say, to share, please call in. And also, if you guys have anything you really need prayer about, give me a call sometime during the show. Or call and leave me a message at 740-494-2222, which is the church address, phone number. Well, what a week it has been. Digging out. Everyone's loves to see snow. My niece was is in for her for my brother-in-law's funeral, and she's been in Florida for the last 30 years plus, and 35 years maybe, but she hadn't been around snow, and she couldn't wait to come and see all this snow, and she literally wanted to play in it. And I understand that feeling when you haven't seen it, but you know, with us, it's kind of like, okay, it's pretty, that's enough. Let's just kind of get things cleared off so we can get things done. But I guess if you didn't have anything to do outside and you could just look at it, it'd be beautiful. Shirley put a whole bowl of birdseed out in the snow, and it's been fun watching the different birds come in and out. And this morning we had a beautiful blue jay. But anyway, we got a lot of things going on. A lot of people have been vaccinated. A lot of people frustrated because they want vaccinated and can't get it yet. I think it's kind of a state's issue at this point. I don't think it really has much to do with federal. And it's just how the states implement it and how they you'll soon find out how organized your states are, depending on how things are rolled out. You ever notice that? But I want to talk about something interesting this morning. And, you know, in the Bible it talks about, you know, some of the things in there about taking care of your family, it's really interesting. The one passage says that anyone that won't take care of their parents is worse than a non-believer. That's some pretty hard-hitting stuff there, because obviously, you know, a non-believer would be somebody that rejects God. And we talk about also in Scripture, it talks about if someone refuses to work and just doesn't want to do anything, that you're to put them out from among you until they do. And I look at some things like that, and I think of where we are financially and economically in our country, and it crosses all spectrums, wouldn't you say? I don't think that it's just disadvantaged people. It's not something that I think people sometimes at the highest level of income also do things that aren't quite right when it comes to taking care of family, when it comes to doing things respectfully and right, and doing what's right with their money. But money is something that is very interesting, and it changes many, many people in a great way. What do you think, Scott?
Oh, money is a fascinating topic, because a few weeks ago we just had the discussion on money management, and how somebody who does not handle money well, even if they were a billionaire, would still not handle money well and would be in the same position they're in. But it does change your perspective. I've noticed, and I hate to say this, but a lot of marriages and relationships, if you strip everything away, the reason that thing functions is money. One person might have come into it with some money. One person came into it with not a lot of money and struggling at the time. So I think they confused their like or love for the other person on the stress they took away by helping them unbury themselves from their financial woes.
Well, that's an interesting take I never thought of.
I've seen that. I'm sure that that happens.
Well, I know that you know, my mother struggled as a widow for many years, and she was a hard worker, but it was just every month it was, what am I going to do to stretch it? What extra job can I take on? Can I do some custom seamstress work, or can I sell vegetables out of the garden? And when she got married again, David, my stepfather, did not have the greatest job in the world. By no means was he wealthy. But when the two of them came together with an income, the rest of their lives together were pretty decent. And I think that it does have a huge bearing on it. Everyone says that money is the root of all evil, and that's not what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. The big difference between money and the love of it. We need money. The church needs money to function. We need money to function in our homes. But what do we do with it, and what importance do we place on it, and why? I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting a great deal of money and even asking God for it if your intent in receiving it is to do something good. You see what I mean? Like, say that I have the intent of helping a lot of disadvantaged kids in town, and just hypothetically, I want to build a youth center. And it's something really important. These kids don't have anywhere to go, that kind of thing. And I see nothing wrong with praying earnestly to God, Lord, please help us find the funding. Lord, you know, open the doors for this to happen so this can happen. But to go out there and say, Lord, you know, help me find a good job. You know, I really want a nice house. I really want this. Nah, I don't get that. I think that we need, because what we have to settle first, we first have to settle our attitude and have a healthy look at money. What is money really when we think about it? Money is something that we use to accomplish a purpose. Once you go beyond accomplishing that purpose, when you've got to start finding things that you don't need just to spend the money that you have, I think you've kind of gone beyond the purpose of money. As long as you have a just need for the money, it doesn't matter to me what anyone makes. But we have to do that. And what's really interesting about that is, excuse me, we can even go to the poorest of people that have very little money, and just because they have very little money doesn't mean they're using it right either. You see what I mean? I brought this up one time. It's kind of interesting, and I hope I don't offend anyone on this, but it's just to reflect and think on, because we can use this on any kind of subject we want. I was in a drive-thru getting pizza with my grandson last night for a pizza with pastor thing we do, and we were sitting there, we were looking at cigarette prices, and we were talking about them, and I think the most expensive one there was $7.85 a pack plus tax. Now, that's a lot of money. So if you round that out to 8, if a person smokes 2 packs a day, which unfortunately a lot of people do, that's $16 a day. If they and their spouse both do it, wow, that's $32 a day. Every 10 days is $320. Every month is $960. Wow. That's definitely a rent or a house payment, wouldn't you think? And the same thing if they add other things into it. You may do it with Pepsi, with beer, with having to go through McDonald's twice a day, or having to go through Starbucks. Oh, my word. That's crazy. But when we add these things up, a lot of the things that get us in a bind financially are wants and not needs.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up Starbucks. And I, you know, nothing negative about the company, because I think they treat their employees very well. But there is a culture that goes to Starbucks, to have the cup and speak the language. And even if the coffee or whatever they're drinking tasted the same at a place next door that was $3 cheaper, they would still go to Starbucks. Now,
that is the reason they go to Starbucks.
Right.
That's what Starbucks banks on.
That's why I think it's a culture. I'm not sure that that's a restaurant. And I don't think there is a McDonald's culture or a Burger King or even a Red Lobster culture.
No.
But there is a Starbucks culture. And that's very strange, because I can't think of another restaurant that has created a culture like that.
Not unless you get into some of the custom coffee shops that have baristas and different people that make things. You know, they all have T-shirts. It's a great story. My niece's kids, all three of them, they're in town today for their grandfather's funeral. But all three of those kids, they lived on right down on the beach in Pinellas County, on the Gulf, and their coffee shop was recognized as the number one coffee shop in Pinellas County. And those kids worked there from the time they were old enough to work somewhere, and it made tremendous money, to the point they didn't even have to touch their paychecks. And the culture, the same people came in. I mean, it literally is. They can't keep all the size T-shirts on the rack because everyone's got to have that T-shirt with that coffee shop on. It's the same kind of thing. And we get things in our head that are a culture. I'll tell you another real good one is, and I've seen people morph from being firmly grounded in this area to over here not being, you know, saying I'm not doing that anymore, is name brands in stores. You know, there's some people that would never buy something unless it was name brand. Well, they're beginning to realize in a lot of these products that the non-name brand is actually probably environmentally better for the environment, or even better for you to take it in, than some of these things that are made to look perfect, have the perfect color. And they're realizing these things, and it's like, wow, this is, why are we doing this? But, you know, how dare you come in the house with a can of Kroger brand this or that when you could walk in with Javalia coffee or whatever it's going to be. And people get those brands. Can it be almost a status situation?
I think that's what it is.
So let's step this back a minute then. If the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, not every evil, but all kinds of evil, then the reason you're in that culture status is you're wanting to look like you're elite in some way, which is essentially the same thing. And I think that, you know, one of the things that has really hurt our culture a lot in the United States, and I'm one of those people that I love all cultures. I just reading about the different parts of our country and how they developed and the people that came over. I love looking at genealogies and different nationalities and what people brought. It's neat. It really is. But today, everyone's wearing a mask. Not everybody, but most people. People see what you want them to see. You know what I mean? I may not have any education at all, and I may not have, I may not even be real brilliant. But if I put on a three-piece suit and some pretty snazzy glasses and sit there with my mouth shut, people would never guess, would they? You see what I mean? Or if it's, you know, a guy walks around all the time and he's wearing hunting apparel. And that guy may have never been out in the field a day in his life, but, oh, that's an outdoorsman. And, you know, we dress in according to what people see. And what you're saying about that Starbucks culture, it says something about you. Look, I'm in the Starbucks culture.
Well, that's why I think people miss. A lot of times when we talk culture in the United States, and particularly the United States on this one, we're talking about ethnicity, and we're talking about race, and we're talking, that's really, I mean, yes, there are dust-ups there, but you know what? That's not the culture that's going to be the demise of us. It's the social culture that's going to be the demise.
It'll be the demise of us, absolutely. I think that we can cross and build so many bridges in race. I was just, funny you brought this up. I was just thinking about this the other day. I really would like to reach out in our church more to the Hispanic culture, because we have a huge Hispanic culture in Marion County. However, we don't have a huge Spanish culture in Prospect. Therefore, we don't have a large Spanish culture in the church. Makes sense, right? But I, you know, I think about those people, and for some reason, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I know some of those families and where they live and how they live and how some of them have to live when they're here because of the jobs they're given and what they can do. We would think that is some of the worst squalor in the world, but to them, it's so much better than where they came from. And I understand the legalities of our law and the border and all those things, and I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth here and say something, but I'll probably get flack about this. But the truth of the matter is, I look at those people where they come from. And when they come into our town and they're honestly looking for work and to better their lives, I can kind of shut my eyes a little bit as to how they got here. And if they're going to contribute to American society and be Americans and want to be Americans and want to contribute and work hard, I'd almost hide one in my basement.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because there was a discussion. It wasn't a purposeful discussion that we had one morning on the program I do here, and it was about immigration, and not to have that conversation again. But one of the things that comes out of that is always fascinating to me is most people want to have that conversation about the immigrant who's coming over the border. I really would still like to have the conversation about the business owner that's never arrested who hires them.
I think Terry and I have had that conversation in the past. You know, I agree. And the thing is that, but let me go back a little bit into why that happens. I worked in the early part of my adult life for many years in the construction field, and a lot of it was in new construction. And there was a period of time in the mid-'80s to where everything started changing, and I think that it was a twofold thing. One, it was that the foreign things really were getting bad in Latin America in a lot of ways, worse than they had been. And another thing that happened was our computer culture. Kids got so caught up in their computer and sitting in their bedroom and playing games and video games that when they thought about working, when they, you know, going to college or whatever, or maybe not going to college, that's what they wanted to do. They didn't want to get out and physically work hard. And it was really odd because I went from a time of seeing on construction sites all middle-aged, young, white, and black males working to literally within a 3 or 4 year period, they were all Hispanic crews. Now, you could say, well, that's because the companies were being greedy and they got cheap labor. There may have been an element about that, but I'll tell you what I think it was from my personal experience in seeing it. My personal experience in seeing it was the American youth didn't want to do that work.
They don't want to do physical labor.
They will not do physical labor. I mean, guys, I'm not tarring everyone with the same brush, but those people that came up from South America, they would do anything to get paid. And I remember one time I was on a job and this guy came over and he was going to fire this guy because he did a sloppy job on some block work. And the guy just kept saying, no, no, you don't understand. I fast. Yeah, he was real fast, but he wasn't learning quality. But he was explaining, and that was the attitude that most of them had is, look, I'll work as hard as you want, do whatever you want, but please let me have this job. And that used to be the American spirit with young people. And I know it was when I got out of school. But it's changed where now when you interview young people, that here's what they want to know. They want to know what their benefits are and how much you're going to pay them. When I went to interview for jobs as a young person, I wanted to sell myself as to what I could do for them before we ever talked any of that other stuff.
And I think that goes back to the original question. And that I think this point very well could be true. But the problem with the business owner is, as you said in the beginning, you might even hide one in your basement, you know, theoretically, that you could turn a blind eye because they're trying to make a better life for themselves.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people can understand that. The problem is that if the business owner is hiring these people because either they can't get the quality or people don't want to do it or the youth is different, for whatever their reason is for not doing it, the bottom of all that is the love of money. Because either way of that in that situation, if it's because you can't get the work, as you said, what do kids ask? What's my benefits? How much money am I? Well, raise your wages. You'll make less money as an owner, but you'll pay your employees more and you will get legal help.
But Scott, that doesn't work. Because when somebody comes in and all they want to know about is what they're going to make and what their benefits are going to be, I can almost promise you, 10 to 1, their work ethic is going to stink.
Well,
so you can even offer them more money, and you're not going to get. You need people coming in that saying, I don't care what the job is. I will work hard. And then you got plenty of time. You make your own deal there, but you got plenty of time to work and become of more value to that employer or less in value.
And I agree. And if that, and that this is the column B that I would say, if that is the case, you just absolutely can't find quality people no matter how much you would pay them, then why don't you pay that immigrant that money? Why don't you pay them top dollar money? Because they don't. And they also don't even try to help them get citizenship. There's nothing.
Now you bring to number C, which I was going to bring up. Yeah. This is a good conversation, right, Dan?
Yep.
Number C is this. My problem with illegally crossing our border is, and I know some people would argue with this, is that not the people that come here that want to work. Doesn't bother me a bit. What bothers me is the other people that sneak in with them and bring the things. We need to have border security and control of who comes into our country for that particular reason. I had a laugh. I talked to a man one day, and he said, oh, he says, Pastor, he said, they can't bring these drugs across the border. That stuff's coming in other ways commercially. Baloney it is. You know, they just did a raid in yesterday. You probably read about that in out on 423. And they said there was enough fentanyl to kill 190,000 people. 190,000 people. And it was an amount like this. Yeah, you can carry that across. That's where my problem lies in what who comes in. Now, the thing is, what employers need to be doing and what they should be doing, which doesn't make sense to me if we're all going to work together and do this thing, employers need to be petitioning their local government and therefore to their federal government that we need more access to be able to legally document people that want to work. And let somebody come over and they've got a temporary visa. You've got so many days to find a job. Or here's a list of the employers looking and needing people. And look, and make a competitive field out there. Look, if you don't complain about the Hispanics taking jobs if you're not willing to do that same job. And be competitive. I think the companies need to be somewhat competitive. Yeah, the employers have taken advantage of these people. Look, this guy will work for $6 an hour. Why do I need to pay him 10? And if you've known many of those Hispanic workers that are undocumented, most of them are working two jobs to get 12. And so there's a moral side of things on the business owner side. What's right? You know, Bible once again says, you know, we're to pay a person a fair wage. Well, that's what you need to do. And it's money. It's funny how all these things can go back and be solved biblically if we would just read the Bible. But anyway, there is a solution to all of this. There's a solution in that we need to protect, we need to screen our border as to who's coming in some way. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that come to it don't even have any documents to begin. You got to start from square one. And but we have to be able to, when these people do turn to crime and they're not a citizen yet and they do things, they need to be able to be sent back and say, look, we gave you a try in this country. You're not going to come here and add to the criminal population. You're not going to, you know, go home. But there are so many of them that are just seeking a better life. I know some of these families that the dads are working in the egg farms, in the hog barns, in the dairies, the big dairies, and they are such hardworking, good families. And there's others that aren't. But the ones that are good and working, we need to find a way that employers have easy access to workers that are willing to work. You know, one of the arguments the employers work, why they're not trying to work towards documentation, well, you know, we've got to, and why we don't pay as much, is because, you know, we got to cover ourselves in case INS comes in here and ships them all out one day. We have to have a cushion. Ah, baloney. I don't buy that argument. The point is try to get your workers documented. And I do know of some of those employers that, oh, they treat those employees like gold. I mean, they recognize their value, their worth, their hard work, and they don't want to lose them.
You know, the one thing in that is just problematic for me is, no matter what the situation is financially, legal or illegal with the employee or the employer, that employer does know they're not paying federal tax. They know they're not paying Social Security tax. They know they're not paying Medicare tax. They know they're not paying city or state tax on that employee.
Which we have to do.
Which you have to do.
I can't get away from it.
Right. And that they knowingly are doing that. Mm-hmm. And they're knowingly doing that because of the amount of money they're paying that person. Because if they did try to take that out and send it in, that person's not going to work for that wage. So at one point, they just are knowingly breaking a law in this country.
I think if the free enterprise system worked and was allowed to work properly, I think the situation would somewhat solve itself. Those employers need to be held accountable. But at the same time, I can remember growing up in my life, there's some low-end jobs you can get that paid no tax. You know, they paid taxes, but they didn't pay any benefits, and they're still out there. And you had to decide. Excuse me, a lot of those jobs were taken up by teenagers, kids going through school, someone that just needed some extra income in the family. But, you know, do we those jobs are going to be there. There are jobs that aren't going to pay much. But I think that if we would get one hard thing about employers stepping out and saying, I want to clean this up, unfortunately, because when you give people power, they can wield a pretty nasty sword sometimes. And when you give somebody, we've already seen it through a lot of the people that were with our with healthcare, with our Board of Health in different places in the country. Boy, all of a sudden COVID came and they had authority and they just went in and shut people down and did this. You know, you see that. So you've got people within the immigration system that, man, they're going to round them up. Well, it'd be nice if you could have some kind of a common ground where the employer could come and they could come and say, let's work this out. What can we do to keep these good workers here and make them legal, make sure that their taxes are being paid, and so I can keep them long term? But that's up to the employer.
But see, that is the personality right now of, unfortunately, the Americans. And we're all Americans. But the personality that people have right now, and I'm not sure where this came from, is we've talked about it when it comes to many things. It's a cancel culture. I don't agree with you. You got to go.
Oh, I know.
My way or the highway. So where in the world is the compromise? We can't compromise on peanut butter and jelly, let alone immigration.
Let me say something from the pastor's spot. When we started, this country stopped going to church, stopped reading its Bible, stopped teaching that form of compassion for other people, we've gotten to a point where it's all my way or the highway. And I'm not saying that's the only factor, but it's a big factor in it. We were taught growing up to have compassion for others, to the story of the Good Samaritan that goes out and helps this person, no matter what they have or don't have. Caring for people. You know, it's very interesting. If you go back 50 years, 60 years, the church is the one that took care of the social ills in our country. They're the ones that were feeding people. They're the ones that were housing people. And more the government took over, the less and less the church did. And people have begun to pull back from anything, but this is what I want. I want it. I deserve it. I have the right for it, and you're going to give it to me. And that goes from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich. I don't think there's a dividing there. And we have to get to the point where what's right, what's the right thing to do, what's the compassionate thing to do. And those aren't always mutually exclusive. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, say that, you know what, let's work for a common thing that we're all going to be able to work towards. Very interesting. I was last night doing an animated cartoon thing with the kids in Pizza with Pastor, and there were two groups of kids arguing over one of the social issues in our country. And it was great how it was written, because they were just throwing venom back and forth like it was unbelievable, until one person stepped up in the middle and said, wait a minute, here's where you're at, here's where we're at. Let's find what God says, and let's find common ground and love each other. Instead of, you cannot get someone to understand your point if you're calling them names. Am I right? I looked at, and I'm sure, I'm not, if there was a hard left person that died, I'm sure you'd see a plenty of negative comments. But I was so ashamed of people when Rush Limbaugh died. I don't care whether you liked him, whether you didn't like him. The fact was, he was a pioneer in conservative radio. The man was very good at what he did. You may not have agreed with anything he did, but for so much of, namely Hollywood, to come out and the vile stuff they were saying, it was just unbelievable. I mean, I'm reading some of these tweets and I'm thinking, you people are, this is just plain nasty and mean. Now, how is anyone going to heal with that kind of rhetoric going on? And it's both ways. I mean, I'm just talking about a particular.
Well, no, this was a particular. I mean, we talked about this yesterday on the show that you know, in my neighborhood, what we would call Rush Limbaugh was a hit, and he was. Now, you don't have to agree with anything he says at all. You know, I don't know anybody who agrees with anything everybody says, and you don't even have to be a fan of his. But you got to say he's a hit. You got to say he was on a long time. He had longevity, and I don't think right after somebody dies. Now, I am not a believer that just because you die, all your faults are gone.
No.
Right, but I don't think the next day. See, here's the difference. If 6 months from now, somebody brings up Rush Limbaugh's name, if you didn't agree with him, I think at that point you can say that.
Be fair, say whatever you
right.
want.
But if the story is the guy died, if that's the story, now saying something negative about somebody's death, that's the problem. And if people don't understand that, and I do know, because I'm just going to use two divisive names here, and they are political, but it's the truth. I know that if Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi, who are up in age, died today, people would say horrible stuff about them.
There'd be people dancing in the streets on both sides.
And it's horrible that that's what it is. Well, now, you can disagree in 6 months, but not their death.
Yeah, you gotta give time for grieving and respect. I mean, like you said, you don't have to agree. Even Joe Schmo off the street, if he dies, you say, you got to have compassion for him and his family.
Well, you know, Tim, you have witnessed this many times in church and in meetings and whatnot, where my position is, and I say this and people look at me, oh, come on, you really feel that way? I don't want to see anyone, I don't care who they are, go through an eternity separated from God. I can't have that kind of hate in me. And I don't care who you are, I believe that, you know, my Bible tells me the only thing there is not redemption from is rejecting Christ. If you accept Christ, he died for everyone. That's everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. If we had a view into most people's closets, our jaw would hit the floor. Problem is, people, you don't know who they are really are, what goes on in their life. But the neat thing is that Christ forgave everyone. Everyone. And that gives them a get-out-of-jail-free card and a ticket to start over on a new path of life. And I'd like to see that with Donald Trump, with Nancy Pelosi, with, I don't care who they are. The point is, since when have we become people that are so full of hatred that we can't wish the best for someone that their life in some form may be redeemed? You know, our prisons have gone from, it used to be the Department of Rehabilitation. Anymore, it's just now a department of throw them in a cell, let them interact, and we'll let them out one day.
Do you know, I just found this out recently, that in Ohio, that if you are a convicted felon, no matter the time frame or anything on it, or serving your time, you can never run for public office?
I did know that.
That's nuts.
I'll tell you why it's nuts, and it is nuts, and now I'm going to hear some conservative people yell at me about it. I've been around long enough, and I've been involved with a lot of people through church, politically, in the business world. Let me tell you out there, if you think that there's such a dividing line, there are an awful lot of what you would call good, upright citizens that should have felonies on them. But because of their position or money or having the right lawyer or the right place and time, they avoided that felony. And there are people that have taken a felony that, quite frankly, was such a minor thing. There's a guy that I know of. This is the honest truth. He was 18. His girlfriend was 17. And they got a little too intimate. He got charged with statutory rape. He's a felon. He is a felon
he's a sex offender. He's got a card. I get the cards at work in the mail all the time because we used to do summer youth workshops. So we get the cards, you know, change of address for sex offenders. And I don't know why, but when they come in, I look to see what I try to figure out. A good portion of them are like 18, 19 years old. And just like you said, it's probably, you know, 18-year-old, like, yeah, 17-year-old girlfriend, 19-year-old had a 17-year-old girlfriend. Somebody caught him. Girlfriend got mad. Dad got mad or something and turned them all in.
And that's
and
horrible. That's,
and this ruined that guy's life.
Yeah,
he's now classified as a sexual predator, and he has to change every time he moves.
Isn't it crazy?
Well, it's awful. I mean, I mean, the same thing is true for people who have done things like tried marijuana when they were young. It's the same thing for people who have done things financially wrong and laws they didn't even know existed but didn't have the money to have the right representation.
I think that most things after 10 years, if that person has walked a very straight path, they should be expunged.
But it's what I don't even understand what the legislature, what because it's not that way in every state, what the Ohio legislature's point was, you can't run for office. Now, we'll reinstate your ability to vote. We'll reinstate anything you can. But by the way, we won't. It's going to be very hard for you to get a job or a house because you've got to report.
Yeah,
that.
And you know, when you're wanting to come out and start a new life, and God offers us all a new life in Him, and you want to start that new life and be the person you're supposed to be, can you imagine the albatross around your neck when you know that you're going to be marked for the rest of your life for some dumb momentary mistake as a young person? For crying out loud, look at some of the things some of our Bible figures did. They were forgiven. They rose past it. Why can't we follow that? Now, I will say this. If you have someone that's an habitual offender, they need it. You have to pay for the crimes you continually do.
Well, I'll tell you why this particular vote one is on my mind. Not being able to run for office. Because, okay, we all know how politics is nowadays and has been for quite some time. Okay, put the person on the ballot. You think the person running against them isn't going to bring up that they're a convicted felon? Of course they are. Okay, if you still choose to vote for them, popular vote is how we elect state officials. That's on you. You voted them in. That's who you wanted. Why aren't we... sensible enough to let the people decide.
Good point. In a democracy, we should be in a democrat or in the form of government we have, a constitutional republic, we should be able to do that. However, let people decide. Yeah, I understand that. I think the government, in a lot of ways, has enacted a lot of protections that don't really protect. I truly believe this. If you would line Congress up, and everyone that had committed an act that should have been a convicted felony at some point, now we don't know who those are, I would believe that we would have a small number left standing up there. Because I've been with guys when they've been talking off the cuff. Hey, you remember when we did this as a kid? And it's all criminals. It's stuff that would be considered criminal.
This is why people don't understand bias. People are more interested in what people do wrong. Bias is very important in our law system. Because if you accuse somebody of doing something, or you would be sitting on their jury, and you go into that with a bias against them, you are never going to believe they're innocent because you hate them already. In a trial, that's horrible because you're obviously going to say guilty no matter what the innocent evidence is. And on the other side of that, even accusing somebody of something, you will not accept any answer. Because you already dislike them.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we could have trials that had no faces and names, where all the evidence was produced?
Well, I love that.
To a jury that didn't know the name and didn't know the face.
I have always said the ballot in Ohio should not have anything next to it but their name. Make you figure that out.
Well, you know, and another thing I've always said about campaigning, you know, what we should do is quit all this campaigning and stumping, and have the candidates mail to every registered voter a list of their who they are, tell their story, talk about what they how they feel on the different issues, and let us go by that and then go to the polls. The way it is now is set up, who's got the most money, who's got the best people campaigning for them, and all, and many other issues too. But let's get an even playing field where people can say, oh yeah, I agree with this, I agree with that, I agree, but I don't agree with that one. Hey, look, why can't we do it that way?
Well, and you know what, with 2 minutes left to go, and this is a fascinating conversation, in Marion County, and it's different in other counties, but this is where we are, if you just state when you run for office that you are a Republican, you will have to spend less money and work less hard. Now, I'm not saying that's what you'll do, but to get elected, it will be easier for you. Because that's just the way that people see that are. You can go back the last 5 elections. It's not hard to see how people
and
are
the
voting.
Same thing in other places.
Absolutely.
Where they're heavily Democratic.
Absolutely.
Franklin County, Ohio. I mean, what's going to happen? If you run in the D, you got it. So, yeah, but I guess to pull all this stuff together, it's hard to do on a show like this
it
with
is.
2 minutes left. Pull all this together. You know, let's try to have a little more honesty, compassion, care about others more than ourselves, and take care of our own personal responsibilities, and begin to look back to the importance of trusting God and reading your Bible and knowing what God has to say about the world. And I think things would get a lot better for a lot of people.
This is The Pastor Spot every Friday morning from 11:15 a.m. till 12 p.m. live here on WWGH Radio. Replays on Sunday morning, 8:15 to 9 a.m. and on Wednesday afternoons from 3:15 till 4. And you can listen anytime on the internet, WWGH1071.com. Go to Show Archives. Pastor Spot is the first show there. And they're all dated. You can listen to any show since the beginning. Final 10 seconds, Pastor.
Yeah, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We have a morning service at 9:30 and also a morning service at 11. We would love to have you come. We're a Bible-teaching and Bible-believing church and a very warm church.
LP Marion, Ohio, the voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because the Cheers have been a huge show at the time, like a Dr. Quinn, like a David Letterman.
Uh-huh.